to the kitchen. Play along with her. It's really kind of fun. For you, you get to be a famous movie star. I'm just a waitress who's allowed to sit at the table. But it is Thanksgiving, and you've got family, he said. Oh, no, you don't. You're not playing the orphan card with me today, mister. And if you're going to be Billy Bob Thornton today, then get on in there and keep her flirting and happy. I pushed him toward the dining room. He patted me on the shoulder. Yes, ma'am, I'm on my way. Did I ever play on the Golden Girls? I don't know, but that's one of her favorite shows. If she says you were on the Beverly Hillbillies, don't argue. You got it, he said. Did you get the help straightened out? Mama asked Billy Lee when we got back to the dining room. I sure did. She just didn't recognize me off the big screen. I look different without stage makeup. Tell me, what movies have you played in, Ms. Clarice? Oh, darling boy, I'm not an actress, she giggled. Woman as lovely as you, I'll bet you used to be. Mama blushed and fanned the heat in her face with the back of one hand. No, I wanted to be, but my daddy said no. He said his daughters were going to marry and be good mothers. So that's what I was. I have a daughter who's away at college. She's going to be a teacher. I wish she'd be an actress, but I'd never tell her that. My daddy didn't let me be what I wanted, so I'll just keep my mouth shut and let her be a teacher. But she's so pretty and funny, she could be an actress. I bet she could play Blanche's daughter any old day. I was learning more about my mother than I'd ever known or imagined, and it was all because of Billy Lee.
Is your daughter Trudy?
Yes, she is. Do you know her? Mama asked.
I've met her.
Well, imagine what a small world it is. Do you think you could get her a part in one of your movies?
I might. Tell her to come down to the studio and audition for me, he said.
I tried to give him my best drop-dead look, but it just couldn't get past the silly grin on my face. Lassie poked my arm.
See, she's happy even if she's not here.
Thank goodness, I nodded. Mama shot us each a look, and we stopped talking. Now, I want to know what made you decide to go into acting, she said.
It just seemed like it was the thing to do. I was out there in Hollywood and couldn't find a job doing anything else. And this scout asked me if I'd like to play on the Golden Girls, so I gave it a try.
She nodded seriously.
I got that part and went on to get another. Pretty soon, I was the star of a movie.
Well, that's a wonderful story, Billy Bob. But I'm sleepy from this delicious meal. Would you take us home now? He played along and went to his shop, opened a side door, and drove out a 1970 Cadillac Coupe de Ville, a bright, shiny red convertible with white leather interior. My eyes popped out of my head. He bundled the two old girls up in their coats and scarves, then helped Lassie into the back seat and Mama into the front. She held her chin up as if she were escorted every day in such style. I didn't believe my eyes until he came back in the car. I met him on the back porch. The wind was chilly, and I hadn't taken a jacket. He threw an arm around my shoulders as we went inside. Where the devil did that come from? I asked.
The garage, he said.
But, I stammered.
I told you when we went to Jefferson that I'd take you somewhere in my car sometime when we didn't have to buy lumber, he said.
You didn't tell me it looked like that, I protested.
So, you like it?
How many more sides to Billy Lee are there?
Billy Lee is just a plain old feller who likes different things. That old caddy reminded me of one Gramps had when I was about 4. He used to take me for rides with the top down. When I found one that had been restored, I bought it. I took your mama and Lassie for a little drive, or I'd have been back sooner.
Where?
just up and down Main Street and out past the grade school. By then, Miss Clarice was getting cold.
"You are an angel," I said.
"Me? Not old oddball Billy Lee Tucker."
"You've played on that, you rat. You know what people say about you, and you don't give a dang."
"You got that right."
He winked.
"Now, how would you rate our first holiday in the house?"
"You're changing the subject, but I don't even care right now. It couldn't have been better unless Mama was in her right mind." He picked up a tea towel and dried dishes as I washed them.
"I didn't mind being a movie star."
"I'm sure you didn't." I couldn't keep the grin off my face. Even though I was a waitress, and without Crystal, and with Mama living in a crazy world, it was happy.
"I wonder what set her off on that track today,"
he said as we worked together washing dishes.
"Well, if I close one eye and squint the other one, I suppose you do look like Billy Bob." I pulled the plug on the dishwater and looked at him through squinty eyes.
He slapped the air beside my shoulder.
"On that note, I'm taking a turkey sandwich home and taking a nap."
"See you later. And when you come back, you'll be plain old Billy Lee, so don't be thinking you're going to get any royal treatment now that Mama has gone home. And Billy Lee, you really look more like Harrison Ford," I teased.
"I get royal treatment every day, Trudy."
He was out the door before I could slip another word in. Chapter 17. 2 days before Christmas, Billy Lee brought in a cedar tree and one of those stands that holds a gallon of water so the tree won't die and shed all its needles. He brought the decorations box down from the attic, and when he opened it, it revealed big antique lights and fragile ornaments in a whole array of bright colors. Linda and Art would have drooled over everything. While Billy Lee put the lights on the tree, I drove to the dollar store to pick up a new tinsel garland. And that's when I ran into Betsy and Marty, and I mean smack dab into them. They were coming out of the store as I went in, and there was no hiding from them the way they used to avoid Aunt Gert. Marty smiled.
"Enough of this. We only have one another, and I'm tired of not talking to you. I'm sorry I knew about Drew and didn't tell you, and I'm sorry for those things you heard in the bathroom at Gert's funeral. Forgive me."
Betsy threw an arm around my shoulders.
"Me too. We were awful. You have a right to tell us where to go, but we miss you."
"Forgiven," I said. I didn't tell them that it was Billy Lee's spirit sitting on my shoulder telling me to be good that made me do it. "On one condition," I went on. They both looked at me. "That you never say another mean word about Billy Lee. He's my friend, and if you say anything nasty about him, I intend to mop up the streets of Tishomingo with you both."
"Agreed," Betsy said quickly.
"Okay," Marty said.
"Then why don't you two come to Christmas dinner? We'd love to have you," I said.
"We'll be there. We were just moaning about our kids all having plans, and actually wishing Aunt Gert were still around so we could have dinner with her like when we were kids."
Betsy grinned.
"Good. We'll see you at dinner in a couple of days," I said. I bought 3 kinds of tinsel because I couldn't decide which one I liked best. I'd never had a real tree. Mama was one of the first generation white tree owners, with all red bulbs and tinsel, red velvet bows, and even a red angel on top. A few years later, white trees went out of vogue. Mama bought an artificial green tree and decorated it with white lights, gold tinsel, and multicolored ornaments. When I married, we bought a fake green tree and updated it every couple of years as the new and better models arrived on the market. But they all paled in comparison to the cedar tree I gazed upon as I carried a sack full of tinsel into the house. I tossed my coat onto a rocking chair and watched Billy Lee string the rest of the lights, plug them in, and give a thumbs-up shout when everything lit up the way it was supposed to do. "What's that all about?" I asked.
Gert and I were always happy when the lights worked one more year. She kept saying they should be retired, but I always liked the big bulbs better than those little twinkling things. Guess I've got old-fashioned bones. Grandma always had a cedar tree, even when other folks had those fake ones, and I loved the big lights.
I saw Marty and Betsy at the dollar store and invited them to Christmas dinner. I rubbed my cold hands together and thought of that lovely fireplace in the house by the lake.
That's great, Trudy. We'll have lots of people around the table, and it'll be a wonderful Christmas,
Billy Lee said. You actually like this holiday? He was grinning so broadly that his crooked smile wasn't even crooked.
It's my very favorite.
He wrapped a tinsel garland around his shoulder and forearm, the way I'd seen him do extension cords before he put them away. Then he handed me the free end.
It's your job to get it on just right. Fill in the holes where the limbs are sparse and make it pretty. It's my job to keep walking around the tree until we have it all done.
I started at the top. Drape here, fill there, stumble over the light cord, bump into Billy Lee a dozen times. I hadn't had so much fun decorating a tree in my whole life. Well, dang it all, I dropped it again. I'm the queen of clumsy today, I said.
Who cares? 'Tis the season to be jolly, remember?
Then we're right in tune with the season, I said. We finished the garland, and I threw myself down into a rocking chair. Break time. Let's rest a minute. He went to the kitchen, took the quart of eggnog from the fridge, and poured two glasses. He handed me one and settled into a rocker.
It's looking good. Last year, Gert just wanted a little two-footer, and we set it on the dining room table. She'd just gotten the news about the cancer, but she put on a good front. She probably wouldn't have even put up a tree, but she kept up appearances for me.
You were good for her. I feel guilty that I didn't put forth more effort to be around her.
Gert understood. She knew you a lot better than you realize. I might have been good for her, but it was a two-way street. She was good to me. I loved that sassy old girl.
I'd finished most of the eggnog when the doorbell rang. Figuring it was a salesman or a religious group playing on the season for a donation, I dragged myself up out of the chair and hitched up sweatpants that were hanging off my hips. That alone was a Christmas present. Just that morning, I'd looked in the mirror and found the hip bones I hadn't seen in at least 15 years. A cold north wind whipped around the edge of the house and through the doorway when I opened it. Crystal stood there like a stone statue. I stared at her as if she was an apparition.
Mama, she whispered.
Her pretty blonde hair, usually cut and highlighted to perfection, hung in limp strands. Swollen red eyes and a fresh blue bruise across one cheekbone were the only things that gave color to her face. She wore sweatpants, cut off raggedly right below her knees, and old rubber flip-flops. She hugged herself in an attempt to keep warm. Her voice quavered.
May I come in?
I grabbed her arm, pulled her inside, and slammed the door. I'm so sorry. You surprised me. Get in here out of the cold. You want some hot chocolate or coffee? Here, let me get you a quilt to wrap up in. You're trembling like a leaf. Have you got a fever? Where is your coat?
In the car, with everything else I own, which is precious little.
I yelled toward the living room. Billy Lee, it's Crystal. He peeked around the edge of the door. I turned back to Crystal. We're putting up the tree. Let me make you something hot to drink, and then you can help us if you're staying that long. She hung her head, and my heart went out to her. Who on earth had broken my spirited child down like this? If I found the sorry sucker, he was taking a midnight swim in Lake Texoma with a pair of concrete boots and a .38 slug between his eyes.
Hot chocolate, please, she mumbled.
I went to the kitchen, and they both followed me. Chocolate will warm you up. You're frozen. She sat down at the table.
I need to talk to you.
Billy Lee pulled out a chair and sat down. She pushed her chair back so fast it hit the floor. I expected the fight to begin. She'd yell enough to wilt the Christmas tree. But she took two steps toward me, threw her arms around my neck, and broke into sobs so hard she could scarcely breathe. I hugged her tightly and patted her back, soothing her the way I did back when she was a little girl and someone had hurt her feelings.
Shh, shh, stop that right now and tell me what's happened.
I don't have any place to go, and I've been so mean to you, and he left, and I quit school without telling you. Daddy said I was a disgrace, and I couldn't live there because he won't be disgraced again, and I'm afraid, Mama. Jonah said he wasn't ready to be a father, so he went home to Pennsylvania, and he's divorcing me. I've lost my job at McDonald's, and I don't know what to do, she said between sobs and wiping her nose and eyes with the Kleenex Billy Lee handed her. I maneuvered her across the room and back to the kitchen table. Sit down and start from the beginning. She melted into the chair Billy Lee had set upright, laid her forearms on the table, and kept crying.
I'm such a fool.
Billy Lee reached across the table and touched her arm. I expected her to go up in flames and pull away from him, maybe even give him a royal piece of her mind. But she looked into his understanding eyes, stood up, and threw her arms around his neck and cried on his shoulder. I hurriedly made microwave hot chocolate and set it before her. She finally let go of Billy Lee and sat down, but kept her hand on his right there on the table. When I sat down, she ignored the hot chocolate and grabbed my hand with her other one.
I've made a mess of my life. I'm being punished for treating you the way I did.
Start at the beginning, Billy Lee said softly.
Jonah and I had this big fight when I got pregnant. It was an accident, but he wouldn't believe me. And he's gone back to Pennsylvania, and he took everything we had with him.
She looked so miserable that it broke my heart all over again.
Well, that's probably a good thing. It would be wise for him to stay in his part of the world if he wants to live to see his next birthday, I said with absolute conviction.
Don't worry. He won't ever be back, she blurted out.
Keep going, Billy Lee said.
She sipped the hot chocolate, and a little color came back into her ashen face.
When I told him I was pregnant, he said I had to get rid of it, because he wasn't being saddled with a kid.
Billy Lee patted her hand and waited patiently.
I still had visions of feeding a 50-pound catfish the remnants of a pretty boy's body.
She continued in a broken voice.
The rent is due in 5 days. I got laid off from my job yesterday. The food is gone. I've got $10 and a tank of gas. I went to Daddy and told him about the baby, and he told me to get out.
Billy Lee's expression was pure disgust.
You did the right thing coming here, Crystal. Your mama has missed you.
I patted her hand with my free one. We'll get through this. I've got a lovely spare room upstairs you can stay in. Then, when the semester starts again, we'll go find you another apartment.
I'm not going back to school. I hate it. I was on probation all last semester. My grades were horrible, she said.
That put a whole new light on the issue. I was barely getting my own life together. I had a mother with Alzheimer's, a fresh divorce, and it wasn't an easy job keeping my emotions in check with Billy Lee. But this was my child, and I loved her so much that her pain was tearing my heart out.
We'll talk about that later. Right now, we'll help you bring in your clothes.
There's only one suitcase. We've pawned everything I had to keep going. Daddy cut off my credit cards when I got married. I got a job at McDonald's, but Jonah said he wasn't working fast food.
That fellow wasn't going to be tossed into the lake. I'd think of something much more painful and longer lasting than a simple bullet or drowning. I'll go get your suitcase, then, and you finish that hot chocolate, Billy Lee said.
You had any supper? Billy Lee and I made vegetable soup today, and it's still on the back of the stove, I said as I hugged her tightly.
I am hungry, she admitted.
The tone of her voice sent chills up my spine. My child was scared, pregnant, and hungry, and her father had turned her out. Maybe he'd join this Jonah whoever in a shallow grave.
Mama, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to butt in on you and Billy Lee. You don't need me messing things up for you, she whispered when Billy Lee was out the door.
What are you talking about? You're not messing anything up.
But I thought he lived with you.
Billy Lee doesn't live here.
That's what Daddy said. He said you traded him in for the village idiot.
She blushed. Billy Lee is my best friend and the most caring, kind man in the world. But he goes home at night, Crystal. I set about heating a bowl of soup in the microwave and uncovering the leftover cornbread.
Milk or tea?
Milk, please.
Mama, I can't believe you'll just take me in when I've been so mean.
Do you want to get rid of that child you're carrying? Have you had a single doubt about letting it live, even though its father is a fool? She shook her head.
Never.
I feel the same about you. Tears filled her already swollen eyes and flowed down her cheeks.
I don't deserve this.
You are going to be a mother.
Congratulations.
Once a mother, always a mother. You don't ever get to quit or retire. Soup's hot. I hear the front door. Billy Lee will take your things up to your room, and tomorrow we'll go buy whatever you need.
Thank you, and I mean it, she said humbly.
She dug into the soup with gusto. When she finished that bowl, she asked for another, and even washed the dishes when she was done.
Now, was there something about a Christmas tree? She asked.
Billy Lee cut it out of the forest, I said. Her eyes finally had a little life in them.
A forest in Tishomingo? Come on, Mama.
Amazing what a bowl of soup and the promise of a warm bed will do. Drew ought to be covered in honey and staked out on a fire ant mound. Denying his own child a place to stay must have broken her as badly as Jonah's leaving had. I amended my story. Well then, in the woods out behind his house. Tomorrow, I'm going to the Dollar General and buying one of those ornaments for baby's first Christmas. I'm going to be a grandmother. Crystal picked up an ornament and hung it on the tree.
Mama, are you sure you're all right with this?
What? A live tree? I love it. Always wanted one. But my mother said they weren't the in thing. And your grandmother Williams would have gone into cardiac arrest if we'd brought a live tree in, after all the money she'd spent on that interior designer.
Not the tree. I think it's great. It smells like the stuff you spray out of a can during the holidays, only not as strong. About me living here and having a baby without a husband.
Truth is, if you were the first woman to have a child without a husband, we could sacrifice you to the gods of the perfect. But since you aren't, and most likely won't be the last, then I suppose we'll keep you and the baby both. Billy Lee fairly beamed. What about you? I asked him.
Neighborhood needs a child in it, he said.
Crystal picked up another ornament and studied the tree.
I wasn't expecting you to understand, Mama. I figured you'd give me a lecture and tell me what it had cost me to stay here.
I'm a changed woman. Speaking of which, you are going to be a mother, my child.
You're going to need to figure out what you're going to do. Mothering is a big, big responsibility. How do you plan on caring for this baby? I hitched up my sweats again. I was going to have to break down and buy some smaller clothing. Billy Lee kept putting one ornament on after another.
What is your passion, Crystal?
She eyed him carefully.
Passion? What are you talking about?
Passion to a kid had a different connotation than to us 40-year-old dinosaurs. It had to do with steamed-up car windows in a parking place. She wasn't sure what he was talking about, and it showed in her face.
As in, what makes you the happiest? You said you hate college. What makes peace in your heart? That's your passion.
Digging in the dirt and making things grow, she said, and she put a red bell-shaped ornament on a bottom limb. I jerked my head around to stare at the child I'd birthed 20 years ago. She wouldn't pick up fall leaves without gloves.
I loved going to the garden with Grandpa Matthews. He used to let me plant all the marigolds around the perimeter of the garden, and I took some classes in horticulture in college. Daddy would have died if he knew I'd blown off pre-law and accounting and taken classes in plants. But that's the thing I liked. They're the only classes that kept my grades up high enough to even let me stay on probation. Someday, I'd like to have a greenhouse and produce plants to sell to flower shops.
You wouldn't rather own a flower shop? He asked.
Nope. For now, I'll just get a job doing whatever I can. But my ultimate dream is to own a greenhouse. I'll have to save a long time for it, because even after I have one, it will be a year or more before it would support me and the baby. This was my child, talking like an adult.
Not once had she mentioned having her nails done or asked when we'd shop for a wardrobe.
Sounds like a good idea to me. Job like that, you wouldn't have to take your child to a sitter. Never did like the idea of a baby being left with strangers, Billy Lee said.
Me neither. I don't know what I would have done if Mama hadn't stayed home with me. I didn't turn out too good even with that, did I?
I'd say you did all right. We're all entitled to a mistake or two in our lives.
Billy Lee put several more ornaments on the highest limbs.
Gert would have liked the tree this year. I believe we're ready for icicles.
Crystal actually smiled when he handed her a fistful of long, silver foil icicles.
Aunt Gert would have strung me up from the tree outside.
I don't think so, Billy Lee said. We aren't too judgmental here on Broadway Street.
He handed me the angel for the top of the tree and held the chair steady while I stepped up onto it and set her in her place.
That's beautiful, Crystal said.
Billy Lee nodded.
I'm going home. I'll be around tomorrow morning to help start the holiday cooking. 7 all right?
I didn't want him to leave, but I couldn't think of an excuse to keep him, other than I didn't really want to be alone with Crystal. I needed his support. Crystal's eyes bugged out.
7?
7 in the morning, young lady, and you will be up with us. Whoever lives in this place works in this place, I said.
Yes, ma'am, she said.
You didn't think you were going to sleep until noon on Christmas Eve, did you? We've got pumpkins to clean and boil and a turkey to pluck, I teased.
For real?
No, the turkey and ham are from the store. But don't say that too loudly. Gert will rise up out of her grave and haunt us, I whispered, and I waved goodnight to Billy Lee.
I'm dreaming.
No, Crystal, you aren't. We'll get through this together. It won't be easy, and you'll face a lot of flack, but you'll live, and that which doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Now let's go to bed. I've got the most amazing jacuzzi up there, and you're going to love it. She looked around the room.
The old place is looking great. When are you buying furniture?
I'm not in a hurry about anything. But your room is furnished, so you won't have to sleep on the floor. I pulled the plug on the tree lights and flipped the wall switch. a nightlight guided us up the stairs.
"Oh, my,"
she whispered when she saw the bedroom furniture. "Pretty, isn't it? Billy Lee made it. Take a peek into my bedroom. It's just as gorgeous. If that man is an idiot, I'd love to see what he could have done with a brain."
Chapter 18. We started Christmas off early with presents. Billy Lee gave me a gorgeous quilt rack that he'd made out of aspen, and I gave him a signed copy of James Lee Burke's newest novel. It seemed as if I was copying the idea he'd had for my birthday, but he was truly tickled with his present. Together, we had a dozen packages under the tree for Crystal, most of them bought at the last minute, and some pretty silly, like a new alarm clock with huge numbers. But she squealed at each gift like a little kid.
"This is the best Christmas ever," she said, after each one.
"It really is," Billy Lee agreed. "Gert would have loved this day. Now let's start cooking in earnest. I'll make breakfast," he said.
"I'll set the table. Can we use the good china for dinner?" Crystal asked.
"Of course, it's a holiday. Get out Granny Molly's pretty glasses, too," I said. She went to the dining room, and Billy Lee and I headed for the kitchen. He touched my arm.
"I want to thank you again for the book. I'm not too good with words, Trudy. I can talk all day about wood and refinishing, but..."
"Your face showed that you liked it. But there's no way you are as proud of that book as I am of the quilt rack," I said. He smiled, and my heart melted. Billy Lee Tucker was the best thing that had ever happened to me. At 10 o'clock, Crystal drove the Maverick over to the nursing home and picked up Mama and Lessie. Mama came in the front door all dressed up in a velour jogging set I'd bought her for Christmas the year before. She and Lessie each had presents under the tree, and they carried on like two little girls. Marty and Betsy arrived at 11 with a basket full of homemade cookies and candies. They went straight to the kitchen to help and sent Crystal in to visit with Lessie and her grandmother. I couldn't have asked for a better gift than Mama's knowing everyone that day. We put the finishing touches on dinner, and Billy Lee sat at one end of the dinner table and carved the smoked turkey. Mama and Lessie were on his right. I was to his left, with Betsy, Marty, and Crystal across the table from Mama and Lessie. Mama clinked her iced tea glass with a knife and got everyone's attention, then raised it in a toast. "To Trudy, who has redone this house beautifully and who cooked this dinner for us." Everyone held up tea goblets and made some kind of hear-hear noise. I didn't clink. I stood. I can't take the credit for this meal or this house alone. Billy Lee has worked twice as hard and long as I have on the house. He's worked all day beside me, teaching me all kinds of valuable lessons. One in particular is that paint stripper will take the skin right off the knuckles if I don't get it washed off in a hurry. Everyone chuckled. I went on. He's kept the carpenters, painters, plumbers, and electricians, as well as all the laborers, on schedule and organized. Then in the evenings, he went to his shop and built furniture. You are welcome to tour the upstairs after dinner and take a look at his work. Betsy and Marty glanced up the staircase. I bet they wished right then that they hadn't been so eager to plow the old place down. I took a breath and kept going. But most of all, Billy Lee has kept me sane through all my personal troubles this year. He's been my true friend, and I couldn't ask for a better one. As far as dinner, I can't take credit for that either. Crystal and Billy Lee helped all day yesterday and this morning. And she got up early both mornings, so that is truly a Christmas miracle. That brought a round of laughter. So the toast goes to Billy Lee and Crystal also, not just to me. By the way, Crystal brought me the most wonderful Christmas present ever. She's having my first grandchild. So please raise your glasses to the next generation. Crystal wiped her eyes, pushed her chair back, and stood up.
I didn't help that much, Billy Lee and Mama did most of it. I did get up early, but it was out of necessity. Morning sickness is horrible. She laughed. To avoid a bunch of questions, I got married in Vegas a few months ago. The father of my child has chosen not to be a part of this baby's life. This toast is to Mama and Billy Lee, who have taught me more in 2 days than I'd learned in 20 years, and not just about how to make a pumpkin pie from scratch. I love you both. A wide grin split Billy Lee's beaming face, and his blue eyes twinkled. Mama leaned over and whispered, "When is Granny Molly coming out of her room? Are we taking a tray up to her later? She did a fine job on this sweet potato casserole. I always did like it when she put in extra pecans. It's the only way to eat yams. Did Gert make the cranberry salad? She told me once that her secret is grinding up a whole orange, peelings and all, for it. But I think she was teasing. What do you think?" "That's what she told me, too," I whispered back, wishing she hadn't slipped away. The table was silent for a while, but in a few minutes, everyone was talking again. Mama kept right on eating, putting food into her mouth, laying the fork down between bites, her hands in her lap. Whether she could remember any more that day or not, the manners that had been drilled into her as a child had stuck. She'd always be prissy. What other constant was there in my life? Billy Lee's name came to my mind without hesitation. After dinner, Mama and Lassie were both worn out, so Crystal offered to take them back to the nursing home. Mama shook her head. "When I come to this house, Billy Bob Thornton takes me home in his red caddy. We leave the top down. Call him and tell him I'm ready to go home."
"Grandma, Billy Bob Thornton isn't here," Crystal said apologetically.
I touched Mama on the arm and smiled at her. "I will call him right now. I'm sure he's already on his way. He was really sorry that he couldn't be here with you today." Lassie was the only one who smiled and nodded at everything I said. Everyone else looked at me as if I'd grown an extra eyeball right in the middle of my forehead. I kept talking to Mama about Billy Bob while Billy Lee slipped out the back door, and in a few minutes, he drove the red Cadillac up into the driveway and honked.
"There he is, Mama, right on time. I'll help you get your coat on, and he'll take you home."
Marty, Betsy, and Crystal wasted no time getting to the back door to see who had honked. Poor little Crystal's face was a sight to behold, but Marty and Betsy's jaws hanging loose and eyes nearly popping out of their heads was just payment for the night they'd made fun of Billy Lee at the fireworks show.
"What in the..."
Betsy got control of her jaw before Marty did. Mama clapped her hands together like a little girl.
"I told you. See there? It's Billy Bob Thornton in his red caddy. Come on, Lassie. He'll give us a ride down Main Street and then take us to the home. He's a good man."
Lassie led her outside, where Billy Bob opened and closed doors with a flourish and then drove away.
"I know that's real, but I don't believe my eyes," Crystal said.
"God, that thing is beautiful," Marty said. "I had no idea Billy Lee had a car like that."
"It is gorgeous, isn't it? You don't think they'll catch pneumonia riding with the top down, do you?" I asked.
"If they did, they'd both die happy," Crystal said with a laugh.
Later that night, when everyone had gone home, I sat in the living room in the dark, the quilt rack Billy Lee had given me for Christmas close enough that I could touch it. Tomorrow I'd find the perfect place for it in the sparsely furnished living room. Billy Lee had asked Crystal what her passion was. I asked myself the same question as I sat there watching the ornaments sparkle on the tree. My first Christmas in my new house had been beyond wonderful. My daughter was home. Mama had been lucid for a little while. Billy Lee? Well, words couldn't describe Billy Lee. But what was my passion? I'd jumped into remodeling with zeal, but the job was almost finished.
We had some minor details in the new downstairs bathroom and the kitchen to finish up. But that didn't involve stripping wood or the floor man's putting us out of the house for 3 days. When that was finished, what then? What was my passion? Had I ever had one, even as a child? I had wanted to fly airplanes, but that dream had disappeared when I put my Barbie plane away with the dolls. I'd wanted to go to college and get a degree back when Drew and I first married, but that didn't appeal to me anymore. I'd enjoyed fixing up the house, but I didn't want to do that again. Billy Lee said I should write the story of the past 6 months or so, but who would believe such things? My stomach growled, and I headed toward the kitchen to have a late-night snack. There was so little furniture in the dining room that there was no danger I'd fall over anything. Just the long table, surrounded by chairs, and a few choice pieces of glassware on the bookshelves. Gone were two rockers and two old overstuffed chairs with tables and lamps beside them. And the walls were bare, except for a single quilt hanging from an oak rod. From the dining room, I went into the kitchen and flipped the switch, bathing the room in soft light. I was still trying to figure out whether I wanted a sandwich or just a chunk of turkey when I stepped on a slimy, squishy slug with my bare foot. In horror, I hopped on the other foot to the sink, acrobatically stuck the first foot in, and turned the water on full blast to get the offending debris off me. Naturally, I soaked my pajamas and had to change into a fresh set. Evidently, I raised such a ruckus that a sleepy Crystal came downstairs to see what was going on. She cocked her head to one side.
"I heard some commotion. Are you all right?"
"I'm fine."
"But, wait, aren't you wearing different pajamas?"
"Yes, I am." She covered a yawn with one hand and grinned at me.
"So, explain, young lady. What did you do to warrant changing pajamas? Did you slip through the hedge to spend some time with Billy Lee? Am I going to have to give you the daughter-mother talk?"
Scarlet burned my cheeks. "Sit down, kid, and let me tell you all about it. And honey, what I did wasn't nearly as much fun as sneaking through the hedge to steal kisses from Billy Lee. Which, by the way, I've never done. Okay, so I'd kissed Billy Lee. But I hadn't snuck through the hedge, so I wasn't lying." She pulled out a kitchen chair.
"Then we have to have a serious talk. If you don't get busy, someone, maybe even Betsy, is going to steal him right out from under your nose." Her eyes glittered when she saw the furniture he'd built, and I could see dollar signs in her eyes when he drove that vintage caddy up into the yard. She had no idea he had that kind of thing going on out there in his shop, or that he owned a car like that. She's not stupid. I'm surprised he's outrun the women of Tishomingo this long.
Advice noted and taken. I'd seen the new look in both my cousins' eyes when they realized what Billy Lee was worth and could do. I went on to tell her about stepping on the slug, getting my pajamas wet when I stood on one leg and put my foot into the sink to wash it off, and having to change. By the time I finished, she was laughing so hard she couldn't breathe. It wasn't all that funny to me, having just lived through the nightmare. But it was good to see her laughing the way she had when she was a little girl, from deep down in her belly. She wiped at her eyes with the tail of her nightshirt. Could a baby really be hiding in that flat tummy? What would she look like when she was 9 months pregnant and her tiny waistline was gone?
"Mama, you are so funny. You've got to write this stuff down, and don't leave out a word. I want to remember it just like you told it. And write down other things you've done, too. In fact, you should write a whole book. Then when I'm your age, I can look back and read about exactly how crazy and wonderful you were."
She yawned.
"Look, it's past midnight. This has been the best Christmas ever in the whole wide world. It will go down in history, won't it, Mama? The Christmas of the slug. The Christmas when Billy Lee Tucker made me get up at 7 in the morning to cook. then gave me a handmade jewelry case. The one when we sat down to dinner with Grandma, and Billy Bob Thornton drove her home in his red Cadillac. She looked into my eyes. "I love you, Mama," she said, and she hugged me fiercely. You should have seen your grandmother at Thanksgiving. That was when she first became convinced that Billy Lee was Billy Bob Thornton, and she flirted and laughed and told stories that I wished I'd known when I was younger. Funny, he doesn't really look like Billy Bob Thornton. He's a sight better looking. More like, Crystal frowned, trying to think of who Billy Lee reminded her of. Harrison Ford, I suggested. That's it, exactly. Like he looked in The Fugitive? Don't tell your grandmother that. She really thinks he's Billy Bob Thornton. We've been through a lot, but we're in a good place, right, Mama? I nodded happily, and Crystal gave me a brilliant smile, then yawned again. Okay, I'm going back to bed now. You stay out of the kitchen and away from slugs. Good night, Mama. Sleep well, Pumpkin. I thought about what Crystal had said about writing down stuff about the past year. If I did, then maybe someday when she was bone-tired and her rebellious child had dealt her a week's worth of pure misery, she could read the silly slug story and laugh as hard as she had that evening. She didn't have morning sickness the next day and was still sleeping soundly when I made my way to the kitchen. Billy Lee had let himself in the back door and was frying bacon when I got there. He picked up a mug, featuring Maxine making a wry comment about mornings on it, filled it with coffee, set it in front of me, and returned to the bacon. Eggs or pancakes? Both. I'm starving. I guess it was a pretty good Christmas if you're hungry enough the next morning for both eggs and pancakes, he said. I'd started lifting the mug toward my mouth, but suddenly spilled the coffee onto my white sweatshirt. I sighed. Coffee stains did not come out of sweatshirts.
You going to let Crystal sleep this morning?
I nodded. I didn't tell him that I didn't want to share him and that I treasured the moments we had alone.
Good. I want to talk to you about something important, and I don't want her to hear.
My heart stopped. What could it be? Was something wrong? Or did he want to make sure that Crystal knew we were just friends? What?
Her dream is to have a greenhouse someday, and we could give her that now. It will keep her busy and give her something to keep her mind occupied while she's waiting for the baby. I figure we could attach one end to the shop and build it to the south. That way she'd have it right close to the house.
I'd been so busy with the holiday preparations, I'd given little thought to actually acting on what Billy Lee had called her passion.
What do you think? Or have I overstepped my boundaries? He asked.
I think you're a genius. It's a wonderful idea. When can we start? And is this the right time of year to do that? But would you mind having the greenhouse on your property?
I've got plenty of room for it. She can get started and begin lining up clients to sell to all year round. And she can do even more in the spring, when people want to come straight to a greenhouse for their bedding plants. I did a lot of research online last night, and I've already drawn up some plans for her to look at. The only thing is, I don't know if...
He stammered, and his voice trailed off.
Yes? I asked, mystified. I've always wanted a family, Trudy, he blurted. Gert was like my grandmother. Even though I'm not Crystal's father, would you be willing to share? May I at least be her friend and help her out in this way?
Share what? Crystal asked sleepily from the doorway. You, I answered honestly. Billy Lee and I would like to share in your future. How would you like to start building a greenhouse next door?
That opened her big blue eyes wide, and they glittered like the lights on the Christmas tree.
Her passion was digging in dirt, Billy Lee had discovered.
His was working with wood and making miracles.
I think I found mine late the night before, when I couldn't fall asleep and actually wrote down the story of the Christmas of the Slug. It would be great if someday I actually wrote something that would sell, but if I never wrote for anyone but my daughter, that was all right, too.
Chapter 19. Brochures and a sketchbook were spread out over the kitchen table. It was day one of the planning stage. Crystal had visions of hothouse orchids and begonias dancing in her head. Billy Lee was designing and erasing as she told him what she had learned in her horticulture classes. I sat in front of the cabinets on the kitchen floor, discovering some of the after effects of being raised during the Great Depression. Aunt Gert had saved absolutely everything. I was sorting through stacks and stacks of plastic margarine containers, along with anything else that had a lid on it. The trash cans were still crammed to capacity from the Christmas detritus the garbage truck hadn't yet picked up on its holiday schedule. So the big black bag I was filling up would have to be stored in the garage until we could make a run to the dump. I stood up with a moan.
"You want me to take that out?"
Billy Lee asked. "It's not heavy. I can do it. Y'all about to decide how big to make that thing?"
"Mama, I'd be happy with a plastic-covered bamboo hut to start with, but Billy Lee wants to make it permanent, with glass and steel."
"If this is truly your dream, then best to make it right," I told her. I slipped on one of Gert's old jackets and threw the bag over my shoulder. If the jacket had been red, I might have looked like a Johnny-come-lately Santa Claus, but it was a faded green plaid. I probably looked more like a bag woman who'd had a good day dumpster diving. I'd tossed the bag into the garage and was on my way back to the house when I heard a weird mewling beside the back porch. I stopped dead. After my recent experience with the Christmas slug in my kitchen, I wasn't feeling very trustful about any unexpected critters. What if it was a rat the size of a mountain lion throwing off pitiful noises so I'd come nearer, and then it would scare the bejesus out of me? I heard it again, and carefully crept closer. If it was a rat, Crystal and Billy Lee could cart my carcass to the funeral home. At least the divorce was final, and Crystal would now be my only living survivor, so she'd get Aunt Gert's inheritance, and Drew couldn't touch a dime of it. I carefully peeked behind the scrap lumber the carpenters had piled up beside the porch. It was not a rat, but a cat. A big, fluffy ball of gray and orange fur, curled up around two baby kittens. She looked up at me with the same pitiful eyes that Crystal had had when she'd showed up on my doorstep a week before. Half expecting the mama cat to claw my hand off to nothing more than a bloody nub, I carefully reached down to pet her. She purred, and my heart melted. I tucked her two kittens into the jacket's patch pocket and draped the mama over my arm. The purring got louder as I carried her into the house, as if she knew those babies couldn't survive outside in the winter, and I was their salvation. Neither Billy Lee nor Crystal looked up. "Hey, look what I found." Crystal was on her feet and had that mama cat in her arms in an instant.
"Oh, isn't she beautiful? But we can't keep her. Daddy is allergic to cats."
The look on her face was one of horror.
"I'm so sorry. That just slipped out."
"Don't be sorry, Crystal. Drew is still your father. You can talk about him any time you want,"
Billy Lee said. She grinned.
"Thank you. This really is an open house, isn't it?"
"It is," I said. Billy Lee and I decided from day one that we weren't going to waste time on nice.
"But you are," she argued. "I've never been around anyone as nice to each other as you two."
Billy Lee looked down at his papers. I didn't know what to say.
"Can we keep her, please?" Crystal begged.
The cat purred as she stroked its fur, and both of them looked at me with the same pleading eyes. "Billy Lee, you allergic to cats?" I asked.
I'd gotten quite fond of finding him in the kitchen every morning, coffee ready, bacon or sausage frying. Not even a mama cat with two kittens would stand in the way of me and my breakfast.
I'm not allergic to anything. Got a cat myself. Used to hang around my shop looking for handouts, and finally decided it was safe to wander inside. With the field behind us, there are always mice looking for warmth in the winter. Since Old Lion started coming around 10 years ago, I haven't had a single one in the house or the shop.
For real? I asked.
Absolutely. Lion would just love for a mouse to sneak in so he'd have something to pester other than me.
Would I never stop learning all the complexities of this man? He had a cat. Its name was Lion. And he'd never mentioned it. But then we were always in Gert's, my, I corrected myself, house. So how was I to know? But that settled it. I'd adopt a dozen cats if they'd keep the mice, and I hoped slugs, from the house.
We can keep her, if she'll promise she'll never let a mouse into the house, I said.
She'll be a good cat and scare them all away, won't you?
Crystal baby talked to the cat.
I've got some extra litter in an old pan over at the house. I'll go get it for you,
Billy Lee said. Oh, I almost forgot. I reached inside my jacket pocket and brought out one fluffy yellow kitten and a black and white one. This is a 3-for-1 day.
Crystal squealed. I handed them to her. You take care of them while I find a laundry basket and an old blanket.
In half an hour, we were back to business. Billy Lee and Crystal had their heads together studying irrigation systems in modern greenhouses, and I was finding more remnants of waste not want not. The only difference was that now a plastic laundry basket with a blanket and 3 felines in it was sitting right beside Crystal's chair, close enough that she could pet the mother, which she'd already named Mary because it was the Christmas season, and there had been no room in the inn for her to deliver her babies. She wanted to name one of the kittens Jesus, but I wasn't about to start dodging lightning bolts. They could be Fluffy and Boots, or whatever else cats were supposed to be named. The morning got away from me quickly. I looked up at the clock to find it was straight up noon, at the same time Crystal declared she was hungry. Billy Lee organized their notes and put them into a folder. I pushed a second garbage bag to a corner. There's clam chowder in the refrigerator and still half a loaf of homemade bread, I said. Billy Lee heated soup. I sliced bread. Crystal set the table and opened a jar of peaches for dessert.
I reckon we could have the greenhouse built by the time the baby is born. You could have a grand opening,
Billy Lee said as we ate.
I don't want a big to-do. I want to do some advertising and start to work. If I'm good and my prices are reasonable, word will get around, she said.
Was this really my daughter?
It'll be August when you open. Too late for bedding and garden plants,
Billy Lee warned. She had both kittens in her lap, but just right for pansies and mums and bulbs and every other fall planting need. The cats can keep the mice out of the greenhouse, too.
Get ready for lots of hard work, I said.
I don't see it as work, Mama. I can't wait to make things grow.
I fought back a bushel full of pure old jealousy when the two of them went back to discussing parking and office space. The latter would need room for a crib and a playpen. What was wrong with me? Crystal was my beloved daughter. Billy Lee was my dearest friend. But somehow, I didn't want to play nice and share either one.
After lunch, Billy Lee went to his shop to work on the kitchen cabinets he had nearly completed. We'd spent our time at the table with brochures and yellow legal pads several weeks before. That's what had set me to cleaning out the old cabinets that day. Later that evening, after supper, I'd follow him out to the shop and do some staining. Crystal wasn't allowed in the shop because the fumes weren't good for a pregnant woman. For that little while, I wouldn't have to share him. And I looked forward to it. I'd finished cleaning out the lower cabinets by mid-afternoon. Before I tackled the upper ones, I took a break in the living room with a cup of mint-flavored green tea. I was sitting in a rocker, sorting out my feelings, when Crystal brought in the basket of cats and sat down on the floor beside me. She used a forefinger to pet one of the tiny baby kittens.
Mama, could I talk to you about something?
I'd made up my mind. She wasn't naming one of those kittens Jesus. It was pure sacrilege to name a cat after our Lord and Savior. What's on your mind?
It's Daddy. I called him on Christmas, and I don't want there to be secrets in this house. I want it to stay open and honest, and that's the way I want to raise my child. That seemed pretty big compared to naming a kitten.
Honey, if your father is still upset with you, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you and won't love the baby when it's born. You can call him and visit him anytime you want. You don't have to tell me.
That's where you're wrong, Mama. I do want to tell you everything. I've lived in a house with dishonesty,